The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning. This is Ryan Tubridy on Friday morning. It's the 3rd of January 2020 and it is a sad day. So I'm sorry to say to you all this morning, as you probably well know by now, we are still frankly reeling from the news that Marion Finucane is no longer part of our family. And this is news that came to our attention late in the afternoon yesterday and it was shocking. We are still, I think, processing the passing of Gay Byrne, to be honest with you, and to lose another of our colleagues, our friends, a wonderful broadcaster and journalist, is desperate. Unimaginable sadness, no doubt, for Marion's husband John and her son Jack and extended family. A desperately difficult time for her programme team, who all loved her, and, of course, for the listeners, for you, who have come to know and love and respect an extraordinary person. And that she was. I didn't know her at a personal level in any great sense, but I did know her, as like you did, from listening to her and her professionalism and what she did for broadcasting and for journalism in the years that she was here. And even looking at the newspapers this morning, which are feature Marion's face on every front page, It's still quite shocking to see why she's on the front page of the papers today, because it was just news that none of us were expecting, and it came like a desperate bolt from the blue. I think as soon as I heard the news today, I kept thinking this, the one name, and I found myself thinking, if it's not too much to say, that what Amelia Earhart did for the skies, Marion Finucane did for the airwaves in this country. She was that pioneer. And she challenged sacred cows, and she ignored the angry ranting from pulpits, and she forged a path for women and men that allowed them and us to talk openly about topics that had previously belonged to the shadows. And she brought them out of those shadows and said, no, no more of that. We talk about them now. And it was remarkable, and she was backed by good people, but she had to lead from the front too. And that's why she is an enormous loss. I think that this morning on the programme, we're going to remember her. I think that we're going to hear from some of you, from listeners who want to talk to us, who've been in touch with us overnight, to say how shocked you are and how upset you are and how much you do want to remember Marion Finucane and what she did for this country in terms of, as I say, journalism, but not just that, at a sociological level, bringing things, a societal level, bringing things to our attention that needed to be heard. I'm going to begin today with a moment where Marion herself was being asked about her favourite book or piece of music, and she introduced herself as part of Presenter's Choice and told us why she picked the music she did.
Hello there. I'm Marion Finucane. Being asked for your favourite piece of music is like being asked, what's your favourite book? Because your favourite book changes, and I think your favourite music changes depending on the time of day, depending on the mood, depending on who you're with. So I just decided I'd go for an old favourite as I started to emerge into my real life, so to speak, and I have chosen Luke Kelly and Raglan Road.
On Raglan Road.
Lovely, and that's Luke Kelly. A beautiful song this morning, I think, under the circumstances, as chosen by Marion Finucane. And just had to say, says Catherine, a lot of messages in, as you can appreciate, so I want to get to as many, because people, we know this, sadly, from as recently as Gay's passing, is that people want to gather, they want to talk, they want to remember, they want to reflect, and we're happy to help in that. Catherine says, I just had to say that I'm devastated at the news of Marion Finucane's death. I seldom, if ever, use that word, devastated, but that is how I feel right now. Marion and I are of a similar age, and people have been telling me that I look like her for years, and she has been part of my life for such a long time. I will surely miss her. May she rest in peace. And Patrick MacDonald was on to say, so sad to hear Marion just passed away. I was her sound person on RTÉ Radio 1 in 1985 as I was for Gay Byrne on his radio morning programme. Two professionals I adored working for, gone in a short time of each other. Warmest regards. Always. And on they come, 51551, the text. Good morning. On such a sad morning, utterly shocked on hearing the news about the great Marion Finucane. After a few minutes into the 9 o'clock news, I thought Gay Byrne needed a bit of a gender balance on radio in a radio heaven. Jerry Ryan and Terry Wogan weren't enough. A woman's touch was called for. May she rest in peace. That's, I see where you're coming from there. There's something kind about that. Thank you for that. Rosari Griffin was on to say, Marion was so human and normal. She was one of us. She was an icon for women and everyone, bearing and sharing her own personal tragedies so humanly. We loved her dearly. Tuning into Marion was like tuning into your favourite granny at times as she wove her daily tales. May she rest in peace. Our condolences to all her adored family and friends and listeners and beloved RTÉ colleagues. RIP Marion. Thank you for that. Very upset, says the text this morning. I listened to Marion every weekend and felt so much at home with her. She was such a class act, and every woman I have met since I heard the news yesterday evening is feeling the same way as me. And Paul was on to say, good morning, Paul. Very sad about Marion. At a crossing point in my own life, I found myself live in studio in RTÉ with her, talking to the nation in a shell-shocked time for me. She was kind and empathetic, and my thoughts were with her family and the RTÉ family today. And that's very kind. And we'll pass all the kind thoughts on to our programme team, of course, and we appreciate those points that you're all making. And Pauline says, saddened to hear of Marion's passing. We'll miss her. I miss her kind, reassuring, respectful, inquisitive voice on air. I fell in love with talk radio when listening to her morning shows back in the early noughties on my return to Ireland. May she rest in peace. And that's just a small flavour of the messages coming in. And we're going to talk to some people who'd like to continue to remember Marion this morning. And we'll do that between 9 and 10. And also, I should say, the Late Late Show has been obviously changed dramatically after that news for tonight's programme. We'll begin with a look back at the career and life and times of the great Marion Finucane with some friends and colleagues, and we'll do that, as I say, later on tonight on the Late Late Show. But for the morning, for this morning now, if you want to get in touch, by all means do. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie. It's 9:15. One of the programmes that brought Marion Finucane to such attention because of the work she did on it and the pioneering, to use the word again, work that was broadcast there in terms of wonderful journalism and insightful, inquisitive journalism was Women Today. Here's just a flavour, not necessarily of the full programme itself, but we just want to bring Marion's voice into the studio, into your homes and your cars and your workplaces this morning, because it makes great sense, and it allows us to remember her appropriately.
Hello, a very good afternoon to you, and welcome to another edition of Women Today. So now straight into today's programme, which is part one of a two-part programme on sex education. This is an area which, if neglected, seems to cause terrible problems in later life, sadness, confusion, frustration, and indeed a lot of unhappiness. GPs, priests and social workers can give long lists of sad cases of monumental ignorance, a very strange phenomenon, you might think, in view of what's called the permissive society, and indeed the very explicit kind of detail, not to mention innuendo, in films and on television. Well, in the course of today's programme, we'll hear from different economic and educational groups about the sex education that they had and whether or not it was adequate for them. Then tomorrow in studio, we'll have a group of specialists in the field, a nun, a doctor, a nurse, and what is generally called an agony columnist. Well, as always, we'll be delighted to get your comments or your questions for tomorrow's panel. So don't forget the number 695-777-01 before it if you're calling from outside of Dublin. And Elaine will be there to take your calls, and we'll read them out on tomorrow's programme.
Such a young sounding Marion Finucane from 1979, and that was Women Today. Let me talk to Kate Shanahan. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Ryan.
It's nice to talk to you again. It's been a while. You are, of course, a colleague of ours and of Marion's. You're currently head of journalism and communications at TU Dublin School of Media. But this morning we remember Marion Finucane. It feels surreal to be talking about such a figure in the past tense.
I think it shows the strength of her personality and the force of nature that she was, that so many people this morning are in a state of shock.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, for her family, it's the biggest loss. But I had a friend last night who's home from London, and she texted to say, "I feel like a relative has gone." Mm-hmm. And I thought that, you know, it was the same when Gay passed away. It's the power of radio, for a start, which we often don't recognise in Ireland, because most of our time is spent on social media giving out about RTE and presenters' salaries, and you've heard all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the power of radio, the power of public service broadcasting, and someone like Marion, whom we all grew up with, and who was a trailblazer in terms of being a woman and a broadcaster, but also had a longevity in terms of her own career, which is unusual. I was quite surprised, for example, when I saw Gay Byrne was covered, his demise was covered by the London Evening Standard.
Mm-hmm.
And other British newspapers, because he had such a long career. For a woman broadcaster in particular, to have that length of career in current affairs broadcasting, because that's really what she was good at, was getting the principles from the major stories of the day, but getting them to tell their personal story. I don't know if we will see, you know, the old Irish phrase, we won't see their likes again. I'm not even sure if we will see somebody getting that kind of a platform for that length of time, because we tend to kind of, you know, dismiss people, you know, very short, they have very short-term careers in broadcasting. They're expected to step up to the plate. They don't have that apprenticeship now that is what makes you. And I think in Marion's case, it was the life skills she brought to the job from Women Today onwards that made her such a compelling voice on Irish radio.
For sure. And I suppose in many ways, architecture's loss was broadcasting's gain, because she could have gone down a different road entirely.
She could have. And people who knew her in Bolton Street in architecture all said that she was extremely talented. And she had, I mean, what a lot of architects have is an ability to see the design flaw.
Yes.
To ask the person,
yes.
in question, why we pay them money.
Mm.
And she didn't have, which architects sometimes have, and I hope there's not too many listening this morning, the old joke is that who's more arrogant than a consultant, an architect? Because they are very sure of themselves. They've done a very long and intense training. They are the people at the meeting who, because I attend a meeting with colleagues from architecture, who ask the very obvious question of, have we not thought of this already, or why aren't we doing X, Y, or Z? And she had that sort of forensic skill that she brought from architecture into broadcasting. We had a couple of things in common, apart from the fact that I had worked with her as a producer.
Mm.
She went to Skull Katrina,
okay,
which I also went to when my family were living in Dublin. And the Dominican nuns were hugely influential. They were my first experience of nuns who prided intellect. Who didn't think that we were all going to get married and settle down.
Yes.
They actually encouraged us to have careers. And the second thing we had in common is that both of our late fathers were guards. And I have to tell the story because the example,
yeah,
Marion's great sense of humour, is a friend of mine who was working with Marion, speaking to somebody else in the radio centre in RTÉ one day, and mentioned in her description of a potential person she was talking to, he's very cute, like a guard's son. So the person she was speaking to said, well, actually, my father was a guard. And she corrected herself immediately and backtracked and said, I didn't mean that. And then she was working at Marion, so she told Marion the story. And Marion said, before you go any further, I better tell you, my father was a guard. Then she rings me up to tell me all the trouble she got herself into. And I said, actually, my father was a guard. So she had to go back to Marion. And she said she still remembers the hoots of laughter from Marion as she had discovered this coven of guards children all working at an RTÉ.
It was probably part of the job spec then at that point. Listen, let me ask you about, Kate, this word that keeps coming up, pioneer. Why does that word loom large in our discussions and conversations and reflections on Marion?
Well, I think there's two things. Women Today and Liveline were both pioneering. And Women Today, I went to one of their broadcasts where they brought an audience in studio. I was a young student. And I remember finding it intimidating and scary that there was all these very voluble women, all of whom were very opinionated. And Marion was there as the presenter. And I thought, oh, my God, this is a tough audience. because these are history makers, they're mold breakers, and you're almost their representative on Earth because you are the person now fronting the programme, which is bringing all these issues to light. And I think she had a slight tension in herself. I had this discussion with her one day because we had both been activists. I'd been an activist in the women's movement as well at a later stage. Is that once you become a journalist, you are talking about stories now and you have to be unbiased and you have to be balanced. But there's also the tension of people who expect you to speak out on things. And when you work in a public service broadcaster, that's something you're not necessarily always able to do. So what, the kind of stuff that she was doing in her team, she had an amazing programme team back in Women Today, is they weren't only just, you know, breaking stories about Irish society that no one else was talking about at a time when, you know, the legal framework and you know, the church's control over women's bodies was paramount. But they were also doing it in what's essentially a conservative organisation, because public service broadcasters, by their nature, have to veer towards the conservative because, you know, they're availing of public funds and, you know, they're dealing with governments of the day. Mm. So you had to have a lot of cajoleries, to use the polite word for it, to be able to do that. And what she had in her ability to do that was she had a lightness of touch when dealing with authority. Mm. She could be irreverent. But she also understood that people, you know, further up the line, they were maybe getting it in the neck from somewhere. So she would stand up for herself and her team, but at the same time be aware of the humanity of the people she was dealing with. Similarly, on Liveline, when I worked on it as a young trainee producer, it was the first programme I produced live, to say it was an out-of-body experience wouldn't be an exaggeration. All I could keep thinking of in my head as I went down to the studio is, this is Marion Finucane, this is Marion Finucane. And the other part of me was saying, you can't behave like a total, you know,
a
whatever.
Fan,
you're,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to, she thinks you're a professional. She's foolish enough to allow you into her studio.
Sure.
But one of the things she had said when she was on the training course, she came out, all the presenters did to tell us what they wanted. Mm. She said, please don't lie to me, because if you do, and I'm the person out front, and, you know, you oversell a story, or you tell me someone's going to be brilliant, or you tell me you've got this, you've got that, and you haven't got it, I'm not going to trust you. And if I can't trust you, that's going to make our working relationship very difficult.
Yeah.
And it was said in a very firm but very definite way.
Mm.
So I was very conscious of that when I was producing her. But also there was a rule on Liveline at the time. And again, very unusual for broadcasting terms. We would only have punters or principals. So it could only be an ordinary person or the person whom the story had happened to. So that put you under tremendous pressure as a producer, because you had to get those kind of people to air.
Mm.
It was people who had strong opinions, but who weren't, and it was another famous phrase of hers, icebergs, because you were skirting at all times what was then libel, is now defamation. Because people would say things, as she said, in the heat of the moment, an ordinary person will make a claim or make a statement. They're not lawyers. They're not going to know the effect it has on the programme. So you have to make sure before you put them to air that they're not icebergs, that above the water all seems quite fine. Beneath the water, there's another agenda. Somebody they, you know, it could be a court case involving children. It could be an accusation that, you know, it would be very damaging and therefore would end up in the courts themselves. So there was all of those things also going through my head. But it was her calmness when she was dealing with people, her reasonableness and getting that story out. And just as you would go to try and put the question in her ear that you thought might, you know, be the one to be asked. Now, I was very nervous, obviously, in the beginning of doing anything like that. She was already asking the question. But she had told me about a particular producer who should remain nameless, who used to shout into her earpiece. So she would take off her headphones. And that was her signal for you to stop talking, because when you're talking, you're cutting out the caller.
Yes.
So she, in the space, I suppose, of about a week, I probably learned all of the things that have sustained me when I was working, leading research teams later on in TV. Because when you're working with the best, the stuff that seems sort of outlandish, you suddenly see exactly why they are doing everything the way that they do it.
Mm.
Why she has to be reasonable, why when she moved to the weekend programmes, why getting the principles of the story were so important, because everybody had done everything else all week. So she had to try and find something new, and her team had to try and find something new. She had the journalistic instincts of somebody who wasn't trained as a journalist, but she also had an editor's instincts, which the top broadcasters always have, because, you know, you know as much as the latest new person on your team. You've been there for, you know, 20 years, of course you're going to know more than anybody else. And that's what she had. A great gut instinct. If she had somebody in studio in front of her, again, you know, watching her body language, as she sort of moved in and thought, this is the important bit. Mm. Because there's nothing that the punter at home listening, or you in studio as you're putting the programme through, nothing you hate more than ask him or her this question. Mm. And the person in the chair, in the hot seat, doesn't ask them that.
Yeah.
I understood from her as well the pressures that you're under when you're out front. Everybody has an opinion on you. And this was the era before social media has gained so much hegemony as it has now. It's a thousand times more difficult now. I mean, the hashtag Marion every Saturday and Sunday, I would wait for it to come up. And it would always be people complaining about who the panel were when she had the panels on at the weekends. Because everybody has an opinion in Ireland on what you do. And it's the other thing she had said, which I always remembered, is that you're dealing with some of the most literate and educated audience in the world. Because Irish people can smell if something is wrong at 100 feet. So don't try and fool them.
That's for sure. That is for sure. Kate, thank you so much for your reflections on Marion. Really appreciate that this morning.
Thank you, Ryan.
Great insight. Nice to talk to you again, and I hope life is good to you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Kate Shanahan joining us on the line there for just absolutely laser accurate, I think, assessment of the professional person that we came to know and love that was Marion Finucane. Let's take a flavour of the countless texts coming in. Ryan, I learnt of Marion's death yesterday, says Paula, with immense shock and sorrow, just like dear Gay. My ears always pricked to attention at the sound of their voice, and my heart always sank that little bit if they were on holidays, no matter how good their stand-in was. Both stood out in how they listened more than they talked. It was never about them. Egoless. May they both rest in peace, and my sympathies to their friends and family. I often remember the morning, says Pauline, Marion was doing the interview with Nuala Phelan. I was driving to Kildare to visit my daughter, and I was so moved I had to pull the car in to the side of the road and listen. So RIP Marion, you will be missed. And that is just, there's more. My standout radio broadcast was her interview with Nuala Phelan, says Mary Dungan in New Ross. It was the most honest, moving interview I ever heard, handled so perfectly by Marion. And Stephen O'Mahony is in Mallow. Marion had a reassuring and softly spoken voice that made me feel at home in Ireland. I grew up listening to her, and she kind of was the wise older sister that I never had. Tommy says, Saturdays and Sundays will never be the same again. My wife, who passed away 4 years ago, always referred to Marion as a lovely girl. She'd a wonderful laugh, says the text, and I'd never switch stations when I'd hear her voice on the radio, RIP. Shocked to the core with this news, says Anya and Meath. I wouldn't miss Marion on the weekend. I changed my mass times. There you go. That's quite the commitment to ensure I heard her show. Loved her voice. Marion will be sorely missed. Just having heard, says Marion, Marion Horgan in Cove, Marion's voice this morning brought tears to my eyes. Her voice danced and twinkled as brightly as her beautiful smile. May she rest in peace. And she was just amazing, says another. I loved the tone of her voice. It was so familiar, and I felt such warmth towards her. A huge loss for Ireland and for broadcasting. Mentioned the architecture there. I remember, says a text, I remember Marion in Bolton Street. She was a year or two ahead of me. She led the debating, won the Irish Times competition, regaled us with stories about RTE when she began working there. She was a leader then, and she was great crack, which is good to know. Thinking of Marion listening to Luke's Raglan Road would bring floods of tears from even a stone. May she rest in peace, says Jimmy. Let me talk to Padraig Swan. Good morning, Padraig.
Good morning, Ryan. How
are
you?
Nice to talk to you. You're thinking of Marion this morning, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah, just like many others, just in a state of shock when I got the news yesterday afternoon.
Yes.
But thinking very much of the work that Marion did in Africa, that's probably, you know, God, if she was alive today, she probably wouldn't want any publicity about this, but such was the person that she was. I was just struck. I had the privilege of meeting her through her work and Friends in Ireland, the charity that herself and her husband, John Clark, had set up.
Yeah.
And I'm just very conscious of the, as we are here in Ireland thinking about and mourning her death, there's so many lives in South Africa that may or may not know that have the news just yet, but who have been touched by the work that she did and what Friends in Ireland did. And as I said, I had the honour and privilege of just at one part and just having a time to just cross paths with them. So I'm thinking of people in, if we all remember when Nelson Mandela's death, that really, really rural part where he was buried out in the Eastern Cape in South Africa. There were the same communities that Friends in Ireland went out to work in. And the old cliche of that education is a key out of poverty. friends in Ireland and the work that John and Marion did, they had that at the heart of what they were about, supporting childcare in very rural communities, setting up schools, building schools. And the work that we were involved with in our organisation was just very honoured and privileged to be able to cross paths, as I said, with that. So I'm just thinking that there's a lot of different communities around South Africa that are, have benefited from the work of what Marion would have done. It's work that she probably wouldn't have wanted much publicity about.
That's it, isn't it, Porter? She was a very, very low-key person, a very private person in a public role. And even her charity work will come as a revelation to some people today, because it was that quiet the way she did she did it. So I think that it's good too that you were able to share that with us this morning, just as a gentle reminder, if nothing else.
Sure, but I think of all the tributes that have been paid, one word that comes out around for compassion and empathy.
Sure,
I guess that in her as a person, I mean, that was coming out in the work that she did in South Africa. So while, as you say, a lot of people in Ireland mightn't be aware of the work that she did, it's a huge tribute to her, and that's the memory that I'm carrying as I heard the news yesterday. It's just I'm going back into these communities that we have visited in South Africa to think that, you know, Marion's legacy will be there forever. And I don't know if people might remember, there was a TV programme that was done as a documentary on the work that she did, and one of those communities revealed a chair with the name of her daughter on the chair, and it was very clear that Maria got very visibly moved by that little gesture that was made. But again, while that was a small physical attribute in terms of the memory of her daughter, the legacy that Marion herself and her husband John and friends in Ireland in general have left behind is quite significant. And I'm just honoured that I had one part of my life just being able to cross paths with that.
Okay, Padraig, thank you for that. Really appreciate that and giving us that insight into another aspect of Marion's life. Patrick Clark was on to say the untimely passing of Marion is tragic news. Her unique pioneering voice in both TV and radio broadcasting was unparalleled. She raised many fundamental sensitive issues which were once taboo and championed the rights of Irish women. Margaret O'Mahony says, I'm so saddened to hear of Marion's sudden death. No words, only a feeling of devastation. She was like a compass when dealing with complex issues. Her stand and illustration of women's issues was deft, empathic and great groundbreaking. Sincere condolences to her family, friends and her broadcasting family. I'm brokenhearted, says Margaret, and feel as if I've lost a friend. A lot of people saying that this morning. And Ruth was on to say, completely shocked to hear about Marion's death, as well as her broadcasting gifts. I found her inspiring in the way she took on issues in Africa and did what she could when she, with great humility. We won't see her like again. I cannot, says Pauline in Dundrum, believe the news about Marion. She was the best. I looked forward to her programme every Saturday and Sunday morning. She was a great interviewer. I'm devastated. I just can't believe the sad news. It's like losing a close friend. Will in Dublin says Marion may have been a trailblazer. She may also have been a broadcasting legend. She may have been a fierce defender of women's rights. But more important than that, she was a friend. A friend chatting to us in our kitchens every Saturday and Sunday morning. A friend that many of us never met, but one that we could depend upon to ask the questions we were all thinking. So I'm genuinely sad today to think our lovely friend is no longer with us. So sincere condolences to all who loved her. Very nice way of putting it. I'm going to say good morning to Rita as well. Good morning, Rita in Kilkenny. How are you today?
Good morning, Ryan. I too would like to add to all the contributors that have said that she was a friend.
Okay.
She certainly was. She was a wonderful friend to everybody, but particularly to us here in rural Ireland. Marion had a wonderful understanding of the workings of farming, of farmers, and particularly back in the 80s. I was a contributor on Liveline with Marion at a time when we had a huge urban-rural divide between farmers and urban. Marion had just such a wonderful grasp of the whole farming community, how it worked, how people had to contribute to it and make it work. And again, she was the person who understood the working and the contributing of women to farming in Ireland. She was the very, very first person, I could say, really on radio to understand that contribution that women made. And while I would be on chattering tour and talking to people and trying to explain about it, she was ever the professional. Mm. She was the lady who understood that I was the amateur and knew how to gently take you along through a conversation. But having said that, she was ever the professional, and she did expect you to understand your brief equally.
Yeah, have your homework done.
Have your homework done. Be on top of it.
Yes.
And be ready to defend your ideas and your point that you were trying to make. But a wonderful, wonderful person. We in the farming community, we will be ever indebted to her for understanding the whole role of farming, and particularly, as I said, women in farming. She was wonderful.
Was she not, Rita, ahead of her time in many ways?
Absolutely. She was a wonderful person. She had such a sharp brain. Mm. I think that's the thing that used to come across so quickly. And if she didn't understand, she asked the questions that needed to be asked so that she too was informed. She always, always wanted to inform herself. She was a wonderful person, absolutely.
Well, thank you. Go on, sorry, please continue.
Yeah, no, and I just said, even in her own times of tragedy, she carried her professionalism so well. You know, she never allowed it to impact on her programme or on any of her workings or anything. So, yes, I too want to say my condolences to all our friends and staff in RTE today. Terrible, terrible loss.
Thank you, Rita. You're very kind. And it's just an insight that helps us understand Marion a bit more. And
She's wonderful.
Yeah, you're great to do that for us. And I appreciate your time this morning. Nice to talk
Not
to you.
At all. My pleasure.
All the
Thanks
best.
Your
Bye for now. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Rita Kennelly joining us there. Just the text. I just want to read as many as them, really, because you've taken the time. I think it's a day for it. So I'm just going to keep going with that. Can't believe that Marion is not with us anymore. Loved all her shows. Will especially miss her voice and interviews. I listened to in the house, in the car, in the stables, in the sheds as she filled the airwaves. And that's from where Mary Weymouth. Ryan, post-Christmas, I was looking forward to tuning into Marion this weekend. Shocked to hear of her sudden death. She'll be sadly missed as she tapped into our daily lives and with common sense addressed the burning issues of the day. Marion had a life well lived. It sums it all up, says a text. Rest in peace. Anne was on to say, it saddened me to hear of Marion's passing. I'm in a state of shock. Such a great non-attention-seeking person, so brave and charitable and professional. Please God, her good ways will pass on to us all and help to make it a better Ireland. Lord rest her, and Saturday and Sundays will not be the same for me. I'm so saddened, and that's for sure. Catherine says, I always looked forward to listening to her on Saturday while I pottered around my kitchen here in Norway. I will meet my Irish friends later today and raise a glass to her memory. And that's a lovely thing to do, I think. Maeve McCarthy from Lucan and Nice, she says, just like most of the nation, I'm just reeling at the news of the death of Marion. Sincere sympathies to her husband and extended family. She truly was one of our best. Mná na hÉireann, and thank you. And well said. Brian and Helen and Bray again. Our weekends will be incomplete following the shocking and sad loss of Marion Finucane. And here's one from Margaret Sweeney, who says, good morning. And on this day, when we are coming to a deepening realisation of the impact of the sudden and untimely death of Marion Finucane. For me, she was a lady who was gifted with that characteristic which is an increasingly short supply, common sense. That, the absence of ego and huge ability, making her a powerful presenter. She listened, she heard, she questioned, she challenged, she brought humour and gravitas when required, and she remained true to the best of standards, doing what she did for the greater good. Her loss is immense. Our weekends will be lesser as a result of that loss. So many of us ordinary people who look forward to our weekend radio will miss her voice terribly. And that is from Margaret. And Orla was on to say, I'm a civil servant. A former boss of mine used to ask about a proposed change in policy. Does it pass the Marion Finucane test? In other words, does it work in theory as well as in practice? And even if the proposed recommendations benefited a majority, could it survive a story well told on Liveline by a victim of it? A credit to the way Marion controlled the programme. Loved her unapologetic coughing too. throw that into the mix. Why not? 18 minutes to 10. Planet and Bono in a Lifetime at 9:45. I just want to read you this lovely email that came in from Graham Hickey in Dublin 1. He says, Ryan, I'm stunned by the sudden passing of Marion Finucane. like so many Irish people, I cannot imagine weekend mornings without her warming voice emitting from the bedside radio. Her effortless colloquial Hiberno-English was a rare trait on modern Irish radio, of a type that created instant rapport with listeners, whether out and about or still half snoozing with a lion of a Saturday morning. Her gorgeously dulcet-toned introduction, "Hello there and a very good morning to you," crept into the lexicon of Irish culture, rightly featuring in the evocative opening sequence of the 1995 Eurovision Song Contest, tied with sweeping aerial views of monastic Ireland. And as a 30-something-year-old now, I always remember, as a commuting college student, the opening bars of her morning programme's title music chiming immaculately with the shunting wheels of the train as it pulled into Connolly Station, just as the sweeping views of Dublin City opened up. In the far distance, the RTE mast piercing through the rooftop stood as a reminder of the extent of Marion's audience and of her influence as a broadcaster. There was something so evocative about that morning ritual. Above all, I think as Irish people, we will miss Marion as a true reflection of ourselves on Irish radio and as a rare bridge between generations who appealed to both young and old. So, Marion, thank you for enriching Irish life. And that's from Graham Hickey, a beautifully penned email. Thank you, Graham. Appreciate that very much. At 14 minutes to 10.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
When Marion Finucane started off her programme Women Today, it was the last day of May in the year 1979, and Dunico Dooling was sent off to approach this new broadcaster, as it were, to find out what were her plans for this programme. There's a brief clip with a question and an answer.
What do you think you'd like to give to that particular Women Today?
I'd like, in some way, if it gave a service to both the men and women in the community, and helped a little bit towards raising consciousness. And that sounds awfully highfalutin, but there was a report out recently on different attitudes, say, between now and 5 years ago, in women in rural Ireland. And I think that if you give people a chance to voice the fact that their attitudes are changing, that it helps to change them a little bit quicker.
Yeah, well, back to the old business of radio as a service. Do you see radio and television services?
Yeah, very much so, as a public service that the public should make demands on and say what they want to hear and what they want covered. I would see it very much as a service.
Wisdom, great wisdom there. Maeve Kelly, good morning, Maeve.
Good morning, Ryan.
You're in Germany, is that right?
Yep, down in Freiburg, Southwest Corner.
Well, lovely to have you on the programme this morning. You wrote us a gorgeous email because, you know, like us all, we're just very much taken aback by the awful news.
Yeah, I almost feel slightly ridiculous saying it because obviously I didn't know Marion, but I was devastated yesterday hearing the news. Actually took to the bath and looked for the last show she did on the 8th of December and had a listen and a bit of a cry.
Yeah, well, you know, you say you didn't know her. I think that sometimes, more so than myself, you feel like you know somebody on the radio, particularly someone like Marion, who's there and a constant and who is so engaging that you feel she's a friend of sorts. That's why a lot of people are saying this morning they feel like they've lost a friend or an older sister or somebody in the family.
Absolutely. And actually, for me, it's been really interesting because even just listening to the clip you played just then, I don't recognise that voice.
Yeah.
I recognise the voice of Marion over the last, say, 10 years, and it's much deeper and slower. And it's really in that time that that show has become so important for me. And I literally hardly ever missed a live show. And I mean, I know for you and for many others, Gay was that person. But for me, it was Marion.
Yeah.
And it's odd. I've been out of Ireland a really long time. But it's probably only in the last 10 or 15 years that I've sort of sought that connection on many levels. And for me, that particular show and the panel discussions is so wonderfully typically Irish, with everybody interrupting each other and her managing to somehow bring it back into control. And also the way of addressing certain topics. It's been, for me, really significant. I'm definitely a late developer. I kind of came late to the feminist party. And for me, Marion kind of created an environment where a lot of the things that I had been thinking about for a very long time, it just provided an environment where everybody could just sort of chat about those things and you could kind of figure out, where do I actually stand on this? And I think that's hugely important.
I love what you're saying also about the fact that you're in Germany. We had another one from a message from Norway, you know, around the world, this idea that you can tune in to for just a taste of Ireland, if you like.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's hugely different, you know, here in Germany. Radio is very, very different. Deutschlandfunk, which would be the equivalent of RTE, fantastic journalism, but very responsible, very intellectual. Nobody ever interrupts each other. It's all very disciplined. And so that Irish way of discussing serious topics is so much more emotional in a way. And I think just really helps if you're somebody who's sort of battling with some of these various issues. I think it really kind of helps you to figure out what you feel about them rather than intellectually just where you stand.
Yes, and
she connects differently.
For sure, and she moderated that all of that crazy, like as you would expect somebody at a good breakfast table, a lively Irish breakfast.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And for me as well, you know, she brought that lovely openness, that sort of, I think I mentioned to your researcher there that she, the few phrases that she had, you know, the Holy Mother of the Divine, my Danish husband says that on a regular basis. So it's not that she didn't bring any judgment at all, but yes. I think she brought an openness and a curiosity that was just fantastic.
That's for sure.
We'll miss it hugely.
That's for sure. Maeve, thank you so much for your contribution this morning. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Have
take
a good
care.
Day. Okay, all the best in Germany today and Happy New Year to you. RTE says Stephen and Finglas has lost the two pillars of Irish journalism in a very short time. Weekends will not be the same. I always said, says another, I was brought up by Gay Byrne and Marion Finucane in the lonely childhood that was, and into adulthood I became knowledgeable in many things, from the facts of life to house insurance and much more beyond, because of the likes of Marion and Liveline. I remember being cross because she left Liveline, and I'm very sad today, and may she rest in peace. My apartment, says another, will be a very different place on Saturday and Sunday mornings. I loved hearing hello there and a very good morning to you. And I live alone and never felt alone, but in fact felt very connected to the world when listening to Marion. My sympathy to all in RTE on Marion's death, says Anne and Sandymount. We've lost a great person. Remember, my memory was of her outstanding interview with Nuala Phelan. Please replay it again in full. I'm sure it will get a full airing in fairness at some point very, very soon. So we'll keep you posted on that. As I was at home with my first baby in 1990, I used to hear Marion every day, and I was always amazed at what she did. And it's just an awful loss this morning. I can't keep up with the text, to be honest with you. I mean, people are so shocked and so saddened. And I think it was just the shocking nature of the news that makes it all the more difficult to process. But we're doing our best here, and we keep going as much as we can. Jean, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Not at all. Good morning, Ryan, and my sympathies to all of you in RTE. In fact, the last time you and I talked was when Mary Robinson finished, actually, Ryan, and I was working with the homeless, so I'm connecting the two, you know?
I see. It was nice to talk to you again, and yes. thanks for coming on the show. It's a sad
not
morning for listeners everywhere, yeah. Of course, for Marion's family, and mm-hmm. but I think it's if the Irish thing to do, talk about the person that we're now missing, because it's a much more healthy option.
Yeah, I work in New York, Ryan, at the UN and one of the NGOs, and Saturday and Sunday would not be the same for me unless I tuned in at some stage and listened to the show and heard the debate. And my words were Marion's voice of reason.
Yes.
You know, he always got that balance. You know, she took time to listen to what somebody said and then maybe, oh, I'm not sure about that, you know, and then she'd come back. I loved that part of it. And then I suppose my passion is around homelessness, and I was always attentively listening to see what they were talking about in relation to poverty and homelessness.
Sure.
And learned a lot, because obviously I don't get that much good news in New York in that type of radio or TV. So RTE was very important and is very important to me.
Well, it's the connection. Again, we've talked about Germany, yes. Norway, New York. Of course, the amount of Irish people in New York
who are absolutely
you know, who just tune in to would have tuned in to Marion to say what's happening, what's happening in the home country, as it were.
Well, indeed,
Jean, thank you for
and tune in to yourself, Ryan.
I will look. That's if you're stuck. Yeah, you have to listen to something. Jean, it's been good to talk to you. I hope we have a longer conversation next time. But we wish you well and continued success in what you do.
Okay. And remember me to everybody, Ryan, in RTE.
Yeah, we will, of course. And again, thanks to Emil and Jean for joining us this morning. And again, thanks for all the texts. We'll take a break before we conclude our programme this morning. We'll remember Marion at some length tonight, and rightly so, on the Late Late Show. But thank you in the meantime this morning to you all for the texts, emails, And lovely sense of reflection and kindness and warmth for a person who will be so missed by all of us, I have no doubt. And we think about, as I say, her family this morning, a difficult time. But thank you so much for listening this morning. Damien will be up next. But in the meantime, we say goodbye. And of course, we think of Marianne Finucane, and may she rest in peace.